you, Bobby. I love you. We'll pray for you later. I knew he was going to tell that. And you know, that comes back to haunt me. Somebody was over here not too long ago, someone you'd met from Shiloh, and they said, yeah, Bobby Davis told us a story. He said, how you knew? I said, I know. I never wanted to be a minister. Well, I had to tell Bobby Davis. I'll never know. But yeah, I'll tell you what. I think that was still to this day one of the longest and hottest nights of my life. And I don't mean that in a good way. I'm just saying it was hot. We were in Arkansas in the middle of the summer. And he's right. It was just a little two-wheel trailer. We didn't have a tent. All the kids had tents. Bobby and I didn't have a tent. We were great leaders. And every time we'd roll, they'd go, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And then you got kids trying to keep them in their tents on top of all that. So, whoo, Lord it be, I'm telling you what. Well, it's great to be here. And I want to start off, first of all, by saying thank you on behalf of my family and myself for praying for us like you have. I'm glad to see you, brother. Praying like you had for us a year ago when we were in our wreck. If you had asked me a year ago, I probably said I was fearful that I'd never be walking again. And ta-da, here I am. And so, I'm kind of like the bionic man now these days. I've yet to go through an airport, but I'm sure it'll be quite the experience when I set all the alarms off between my leg and my arms and everything. But I'm thankful to be walking, and all my family's doing well. But we thank you very much for loving us. Extended family, this will always be home to me. I'm always proud to say I grew up here at South Main. You will always be very, very near and dear to my heart. So I thank you for that. One of the things that Bobby said is true. I never wanted to be in ministry. And what do I have, 2 hours? Okay. I never wanted to be in ministry. My degree is in public relations. And God said, you're going to be in ministry. I'm going to put you in this. And I thought, and every time I've tried to get out of ministry, God has pulled me back in. I thought, come on. I'm tired of being happy for everybody else. I don't want to be poor the rest of my life. And he continues to laugh. Yeah, you know how this goes. So anyway, but I do love ministry. I love people. And in ministry, we're in the biggest people business there is. We are in the biggest people business there is. And I'm on a staff now where I am now the old guy. I'm not even 50 yet. I will be in a few months. But, you know, everybody else is, you know, they're just young and they don't know come here from sick 'em. But, you know, matter of fact, our pulpit ministry, you remember this TV show, Fantasy Island? Okay, now this is horrible, but I'm just going to tell you, and you can pray for me later. But you remember when the plane was missing from Malaysia and it popped up on my computer, had the little tattoo from Fantasy Island? They said, I bet he knows where the plane is, you know? So he's going to plane. So I went into our pulpit ministry. I said, look at this. Isn't this funny? He's like, I don't get it. I'm like, tattoo. He goes, who's and what's a tattoo? I'm like, you weren't born yet, were you?
The plane.
That's what I'm saying. He missed the whole thing. So everything I think is funny, they just look at me. I'm like, whatever, you're missing out. But you know, the thing I love about being in ministry, God has allowed me to be me. I'm not your typical minister, and there's pros and cons with that. I'm just the real deal. I come with a lot of mistakes. I've messed up quite a bit. I've offended a lot of people. And I may offend you tonight. It's not my intent. What we're going to talk about tonight, my favorite area, authentic relationships. Now, what I'm going to try to do, I've taught this all summer long, and I love it because I think that's why God pulled me into ministry, because I love people. And I know people, and not to offend anybody, it's not Bob or anybody else in here because y'all are great, but I know people who've been in ministry for years. Their calling was wrong. Because you can go sit down and visit with them, and they get an F. They just don't know how to listen, to love on people. And I'm like, we're in the biggest people business, how to love on people. And they're like, well, I want you to read a book. They don't want to read a book. They want somebody to talk to them. We're in the biggest people business. And I think that's why God, A, I don't like to read. It's not my, I have to, you know, the thing called the Bible. You know, I read that. But, you know, my wife, her favorite thing is just have a good book, sit down and read. That's not my favorite thing. I'd rather sit down and make fun of people. That's my favorite thing. I'm very real. I'm very real that way. I love to laugh. And yes, God does laugh. I mean, whew, he does laugh at me every day, but I'm figuring he's wanting me to laugh at others too. So, you know. So authentic relationships, I've been teaching this all summer long. I did 2 sets of 6 weeks. What I'm going to try to do is give you the whole thing in just a few minutes. So I've cut it down quite a bit. But my thing about authentic relationships is that many times, in my opinion, we've spent so many years playing church. And this is how we're supposed to look as Christians. This is how we're supposed to be. And yet, many of us have not tapped into who God designed us or created us to be. Are you with me? For instance, I loved my dad, Jerry Bragg. Good man. Not a great man. Not a perfect man. No. He was a good man. But you know, for many years, I always, especially as a little kid, I wanted to be like my dad. There's a lot of things I didn't want to be like mine. My dad was a grump. He was a grump. He was. I could sit there and go, Dad, Dad. Or we said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He goes, what, Burke, what? What do you want? I'm like, whoa, you know, you don't have to be this grump. And then I had kids. And they're like, oh, Dad, you don't have to be a grump. I'm like, oh, I tried not to, and I became him. I know. Get out. I even have Pat in me, too. It is what it is. Matter of fact, somebody at Shiloh the other day said, well, what's your mother like? And my wife said, it's Burke in a dress. That's what a 50-year-old wants to hear. That's it. But a lot of times we don't know who we are or who God designed us to be because we've taught this is how it's supposed to be. But yet, our stories are all different. Our stories are all different. So I'm going to give you 6 weeks worth in just a few minutes. Week one, I talked about and encouraged people to be who God designed you to be. And in our world today, so many people are trying to be like somebody else. From the way you go to the beauty shop. You go to the beauty shop? So, you know, and they'll give you pictures. I want my hair done like this, and I want to look like that. Especially our young girls. They want to look like and all this. It's clothes. Everybody wants to look like everybody else. But who did God design you to be? I was speaking years ago at a conference up in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was highlighting the fact that we need to be who God designed us to be. And I said, now, I don't have the body of Adonis or anything like that. I said, this is what God gave me. Some guy in the back goes, he didn't give you all that, you know, and I'm like, thank you. But I have been in ministry for a little over 25 years, and Bobby's counting my college years too from doing that, and that was ministry as well, but as paid staff for a little over 25 years now, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I've worked over 20 years with singles, single adults, single parent families, blended families, families of divorce, and a lot of us didn't grow up, we didn't know what to do with that area, and I'm telling you what, these people became biggest heroes and mentors of my life because, see, their life was the real deal. They didn't get to come and play church. Their life was an open book for everybody else to look at. You knew who went through divorce. You knew who had a child out of wedlock. You knew who had children, never been married. I mean, we knew their story. But were we going to share our story? No. We're going to seek out to help everybody else that got problems, but not ourselves. We'll keep that plank in there. You know how that goes. So we need to know who God designed us to be, but sometimes we're either scared of who we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be. And the thing is, with life comes the good, the bad, and the ugly. And let me tell you what, there's some ugly people out there. I'm looking at you. I know, I see. There's some ugly out there. There's some ugly. But we don't know how to deal with the ugly sometimes. Because, in my opinion, we were taught, we only talk about these things. In confrontation, somebody asked me, when they hired me back at Shiloh, I was at Shiloh for close to 8 years, went off for 11 years, came back, and they said, what do you think your biggest gift is? I said, well, addressing the elephant in the room. They said, what do you think your biggest struggle is? I go, addressing the elephant in the room. And that is, it's a gift and a curse, most of the time a curse. But anyway, you know, we've got a lot of ugly out there that we have to talk about, we have to deal with. That's part of the world, you know. And if we're going to want to reach out to the world, hey, we got to know who we are so we can go out and share our stories and tell other people. So they'll say, you know what, I feel comfortable telling you about my life, telling you about where I've come from, telling you about the things that I struggle with. So truth is, so many people, in my opinion, have spent their lives trying to either be like, look like, and act like someone else rather than being who God designed them to be. God designed Burke to be in ministry. I still don't get it all. I still wonder if I'm in the right place because you've heard me say before, maybe some of you, at this point in my life, I should have replaced Wayne Newton in Las Vegas. You know, I can sing Dunk of Shame. You know, I've got the hair for it. And I mean, I just, you know, my brother doesn't, but I do. And I just kind of threw him under the bus, didn't I? He's not even here. He'll be here this weekend, though. But anyway, but being who God designed us to be, that was week one. And a lot of people, you'd be surprised, some people, they don't know who they are. I'll say, what are your gifts? What are your talents? And people are like, I don't know. You need to find out who God designed you to be and be proud of who you are and whose you are. I'm going to have some scriptures here in a second, believe it or not. Week two, we went on to talk about the change. The change can only happen in you. And when I say the change, I'm not talking about the change. Okay, are you with me on that? Tommy gets it. He's laughing. Anyway, but the change can only happen in you. The change can only happen in you. The change is you. Have you ever had difficulty trying to change? Human beings are creatures of habit. We do the same things we've always done. We do the same things we've always done. Some of you may still be sitting in the pew that you were sitting in back in 1988, 89. I don't know. Are any of you still alive from then? You know? Okay, yes, some of you are. You know, but who remembers the parrots? Am I close? Am I close? Right here. And did they walk in on time? No. It was always after church started, you know. And what was the one thing, just highlight, Miss Parrott, what was the difference between her on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night? Anybody? That's exactly right. Tom, what was it? She had hat, and sometimes she'd have her wig on. She may be gray-headed, going bald, and then sometimes she'd have that, remember that dark wig she wore? Yes. If y'all don't, I do. Because I was probably laughing. But anyway, but a lot of people have problems changing from what they know. We do the same thing week in, day after day, the whole thing. Like a river flowing through a canyon, the longer a habit continues, the more deeply it becomes ingrained in us, and it's harder to change. This is true in habits, good, bad, and ugly. So Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught, emphasize that, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What I get out of this is that we never stop growing. We never stop learning. We have never arrived. Growing up, we had the five steps to baptism. Who can tell me what they are? What's the sixth one? Live it! We forgot to put that one in there. I had to learn that one on my own. You have that one? See, why weren't you there to teach me? But anyway, but a lot of times we stopped it, you know, we got that down. We baptized them and then what? We left them. And listen, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of broken spirits out there. A lot of broken spirits out there. But we've got to change. But we can't go out and change the world until we change ourselves. And that's hard to do. It's a lot easier to reach out and want to help everybody else. And I'm the world's worst. I love to be there to help everybody. I do not like to ask for help. I do not like to ask for help. Why do you think that is? I'm asking. Feel free to jump in. Well, okay. Move Bob up the list. Okay. What is it? Somebody. What? Pride. I don't want everybody to know my business. I don't want them to judge me. So therefore, it would be a lot easier to go help somebody else. And so it's kind of like when we came to church and I said, play church. People say, well, how are you doing? And your answer is?
Fine.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. We're not always good. Marriages. Ooh, I'm telling you what. My wife and I, we're about to celebrate 27 years of marriage. Yes, amen. Because, listen, I'm just being honest. I'm being real. There have been a lot of days when it has been a lot easier for her to go her way and I go mine and we say, have a good life. Marriage is not easy. But we weren't going to share that, especially when you were a minister. You weren't going to share it because we were all supposed to be fine. It wasn't fine. Marriage is tough. There's a lot of good, bad, and a whole lot of ugly. But when we come to church, we're great. And you know the little skit that people used to say, you're riding to church, you go, what do you mean? Well, don't you dare honk that horn at me. And then you're going on, you get to church, well, how's everybody? Well, I'm wonderful, glad to see you, hey! And then there's sometimes, you think I always want to be at church? No. I'd like to sleep in. I would like to have to get up and not worry about the pompadour. I would love to do that. It's not always great. It's not always fun. But I'm the only one who can work on me. And there's where I have offended people because sometimes I'm too much. I'm just being honest with you. I've had people tell me, they go, you're a little much. And they say it like that, you know. Because they don't like to hear, we've got to change. But I'm telling you what, my grandma Brack, she had it right. She was a piece of work. But I'm telling you what, she said, as long as you're living, God's not through with us. Which means we still have learning to do. We're going to keep putting off the former. We're going to keep picking up the newer along the way. The change is in you. It's not an age thing either. And we've never just arrived. If you've just arrived, then welcome to heaven. And I don't think any of us have made that cut yet. So, that's here. So knowing what changes to make is not enough. We also need to know how to make them. We need to open up and we need to honestly discuss these things. If you're struggling with something, hopefully, and I'm going to probably repeat this, find somebody that you trust and that you can go talk to and share what's going on. Share. Find a mentor. Find somebody that can help you with your walk. Look at their own life. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. It didn't say, all Scripture is good. Once you've been baptized, don't worry about it. No. It is useful for teaching. And this word, rebuking, what's that mean? What's it mean? Shame, shame, know your name. Yeah, okay, that's a good one. Correcting, training in righteousness. And a lot of times we don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be corrected. But you know, we have to be. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. You know, my kids, when they were younger, they just thought I was a mean old daddy. Because there wasn't a thing called time out in our household. I didn't have time for it. You know, I'm not saying spanking's the way. Doesn't hurt. But, I mean, it's just, you know, so we'd play a little game called Rawhide. You know? Or better yet, have belt, we'll travel. You know? And my son, I always think of him when I hear rebuking and correcting. And all, our oldest son, whew, piece of work. Oh, you know, if you have two or three kids, you know you have that, whatever order, it's all different. But our first son just like killed us. Our second son was a gift from heaven. He was, oh, you could just say sleep and he'd fall over. You know? But Mitchell, our oldest son, oh, he was always doing something. And so, you learn along the way, and I told him, whatever it was he had done, I said, if you do it again, I said, I'm going to spank you. Well, he did it. So I just nonchalantly got up out of my chair, and I started walking his way, and he ran from me. No, you don't run. No. So I followed him to his room. He shut the door. Strike two. And then I opened the door, and he bebops across the bed. He goes, oh, give me a chance, give me a chance, give me one more chance, anyone. I go, no, chances are over. He drops to his knees, and he's like 5 years old. He drops to his knees, and he yells, God, Jesus, save me! He really believed they were going to show up. I did, too. And I'm like, okay. But when I hear that rebuking, I think of Mitchell. I'm thinking, and now today, Mitchell say, he'll be out in a restaurant or something. He'll see some parents who just let their kids go wild. And he goes, Dad, I'm afraid if I was a dad, I'd have to calm them down. He goes, thank you for correcting us. I'm like, whew, we made it. You know, and I appreciate that, but that's what comes to my mind. So, you need to know those things. So the changes in you, work on that. Number three, intimacy. Intimacy is so true as we develop these relationships and we want to reach out to everybody in the world. Intimacy. What does intimacy mean? Anybody? It's okay to banter here. What? Closeness? Or close, what did you say? Close knit or closeness? Okay, closeness. Anybody over here in the mute section? What's it mean? Really getting to know the other person or allowing them to get to know you. But you know what a lot of people think of when you say intimacy? Sex. That's not what intimacy is. That is not what intimacy is. Intimacy is, it is defined as a close familiarity or a friendship. There's a closeness there. I like to define it as this. Intimacy is in to me see. I'm letting you into my life to see who I am, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's intimacy. When you can sit down and share your story in to me, see. Pronouncing the word such as this does a great job of giving a deeper meaning in the way the word sounds. And it really does. Intimacy, in to me, see. In working with people, building a relationship makes a world of difference. Jesus himself did this continually throughout his time here on earth. He took the time to sit down and talk to people. I love the story of the woman at the well. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. He didn't just say, hey, you come to church? Okay. No. He took the time. And he got her to open up. And as that relationship within that short period took place, she started sharing on her own. And then even called her out on it and said, yes, for now what? The man you're living with is not what? He's not your husband. But, you know, she didn't say, how dare you? There was intimacy. There was a relationship built there. So, intimacy. Real intimacy, again, is more than, it's not just sex. And that's what our world believes a lot of times. And we need to sit down and say, here's what intimacy is. It's intimacy. Real intimacy makes us feel known. I like people to know who I am. They don't have to know everything, but I like them to know who I am. I like them to know where I've come from. Being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. I can tell you, I honestly, as my childhood and my teens and things like that, I probably spent most of my Christian life in fear. I played out of fear. Does that make sense? And it wasn't until I was older that I realized it was okay to make mistakes. You know, while most of the kids in high school or junior high and high school, they were going to what's called pasture parties. Anybody know what a pasture party is? Well, it's not a Devo. Okay? It's not a Devo. But I mean, all the cool kids, the popular kids, went to the pasture party. Burke never got invited to a pasture party. Now, that's a good thing on one hand. I've heard people say, oh, Burke, you wouldn't want to be there. Let me decide. You know? It's kind of like when somebody goes, you know, money doesn't make you happy. Let me decide. I'll get back. I've got to try the other part. I'll tell you. You know what I mean? But I look back and did I want to go? Yes, but I wasn't going to tell anybody. Was I hurt? Yes, but I wasn't going to tell anybody because that's what I wasn't supposed to want to go. Does that make sense? We want to be known. Real intimacy begins with you. Real intimacy with God is real and it's rewarding. God wants us to be honest with who we are, what we struggle with. Because God already knows. So why not cut the chase and quit pretending and be real? And when you're starting to be real, other people are like, I know what you're talking about. I want to be real too. Here's my story. Well, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Love it, love it, love it. Here's another one. Sharing number four. Sharing the love of God. Sharing the love of God. Being who you are in Christ, okay, in Christ is the most powerful way you can share your faith. Being real. When it comes to witnessing to your non-Christian friends, God loves to work through your, this is my own little title, people don't like it, but I liked it. You've heard of witnessing. I call it witnessing. It's a tongue twist. It really is bad. I even had somebody in my class twice that said, that's dumb. But I said, you know, but the idea is to being together, witnessing, spending your time, sharing the intimacy, being real, being upfront, being honest, and working on yourself. But being who you are in Christ is the most powerful way you can share your faith. Now, does this mean you have to be perfect? No. But old Burke, and I did a lot of this to myself. It's not that my parents did it to me. I did it to myself because do you know who I spent a lot of my time trying to please growing up? Anybody? What? It was always somebody else. You. Because I cared what you thought of me. That's not a bad thing. But I missed out trying to be real at the same time. Does that make sense? So there's pros and cons with both sides of that. But does this mean you have to be perfect all the time? No. Does this mean you never make mistakes? Oh, you're going to make mistakes. Not at all. But witnessing, you're sharing what you've learned. You've got to be real. Being real. You're not trying to act like a good Christian in front of your non-believing friends. They can tell a fake just as easily as you can. I have seen people that walk around and they say, well, I read the Bible from cover to cover. Woo! What does it mean? How does it apply? What does it mean in your life? But I'm not handing out any awards. Now, you might. But I'm not handing out any awards just because you read the Bible from cover to cover. Listen, I was not one who liked Bible Bowl. You remember Bible Bowl? Shoot me. Shoot me now. A, I didn't like to read. I now know I was dyslexic. Okay? You're dyslexic too. You know that? I just want to call you out in this. This is why we never had bedtime stories. Just want to say that. You know? Let your dad read to you. You know? So, I know that Pat and I are dyslexic. K.O.? Get it? Okay, K.O.? All right. so. But the thing is, you know, I forgot where I was even going with this. Oh, but they can tell a fake as easily as you can. But a lot of times, people are walking around like they've got it all together. And we don't. We don't. There's so many people who are trying to play like they got it all together. Me, as a teenager, trying to play like I had it all together. I'll never forget, there was a young lady, I won't say who, she didn't go to church here, but she's probably a relative. And but she was on the drill team for the Henderson Lions. And she came up to me at some event, I was in high school at this point, and she said, "Christian boy." It wasn't the fact that she called me a Christian, because I was a Christian, I was a boy. But it was the tone. And it made me feel so small. Because I guess she thought I walked around like I never made mistakes. But there was truth in that. But I was doing that to myself. And that's the only person I can speak for is myself. But being real, listen, there's enough non-Christians out there watching Christians to make mistakes. So if you act like you haven't made any mistakes, you're going to run them off. So once you build that relationship, I'm saying, my opinion, it's okay to say, you know what, I struggle too. We can get to that point, the doors will open. Because right now, well, our world's always had problems. Do you know there are more single adults in the world today, or not in the world, in the U.S. today, than there are marriages? There are more single adults today than there are marriages. But we're still developing everything around marriages. I've spent over 20 years in singles ministry. Now most churches have dropped their programs. It's a messy business. We don't know what to do with it. But we need it now more than ever. But we need to be able to tell our stories, sharing the love of God, being real. John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Through me. Meaning, you don't have to do this by yourself. You don't have to do it. He's got your back. He's there with you. He's walking side by side. You remember the bumper sticker that came out years ago? God's my co-pilot. Dummy. Let him be the pilot. You know, that's what I should come out with that, maybe. And then I pray about saying dummy, you know. But, I mean, God is my co-pilot. God should be your pilot. But do you remember that bumper sticker? God is my co-pilot. Look at me. Run the red light. You know, and go ahead. I got your back. You know, no. God is your pilot. God is your pilot. Here's another one. Sport your support. That sounds terrible. I needed something to rhyme in week 5. But anyway, sport your support. As a Christian, you're often taught the importance of working on your relationship with God, but God also asks you to develop our relationship with one another. I say this over at Shiloh because I've spent so many years there. There's so many people a lot of people there, they've been going there for years, but they still don't know one another. We don't know one another's stories. You've heard the, I know Tommy's probably heard this, and Tom, you know, let's sing one another's songs. The same thing is with life. Let's tell one another's stories. I'm not saying you have to tell everything, but we need to get to a point where we can tell our stories, because that's what reaches other people, I believe, with all my heart. So sport your support. Be out there. Be supportive. But be willing to put yourself out there. And that's a scary thing, because you're always going to have somebody. And I know you get this. Anytime you're up in that pulpit, anytime you're in front of an audience, you're going to be a target for somebody. That's just part of it. That's just part of it. But at the end of the day, you need to know who you answer to. It's God Almighty. And that's why God, and I don't mean it in a boastful way, I think that's why God keeps me in ministry, to laugh, I don't know, to help people feel real. And, you know, some people will say, for instance, there was a minister I worked with in Midland, Todd Brown. And, you know, a lot of people quote this phrase today. You'll go through and they say, "How are you doing today?" And they'll say, "Better than I deserve, better than I deserve, better than I deserve." I just do not like that answer. Now, that's me. If you use it, that's great. That's between you and God. I'm praying for you. But, you know, he would walk through it's just a very canned answer. "Better than I deserve, better than I deserve." I followed him through the auditorium one, and I stayed about 5 people behind him. And they'd say, "Well, how are you doing?" I said, "Well, you know how Todd's saying, better than I deserve? I deserve better, you know?" And I would just say that. I wanted to be real. And it got them to open up, and they'd laugh. Laughter is, whoo, it's big. People need laughter. We need some laughter. So here's some things. I'm going to highlight a few things, read a scripture with this in it. But sport your support. One of the things that helps along the way, lose the judgment. It's so easy to sit there and judge everybody else. Years ago, we went to a gospel meeting at what used to be Harkless Street. Remember going to gospel meetings at Harkless Street? Anybody in here go to Harkless Street? Best singing. You know, my favorite song we ever sang over Harkless Street is No Not One. Because we said, singing, no, not one. Singing, no, not one. I mean, and of course, people are patting on that old wood floor. You remember the wood floor they had? And just, boom, boom, boom. That was a musical instrument. I'm just saying. Anyway, but lose the judgment. Lose the judgment. But I don't remember the preacher, the gospel preacher's name, but we had a lady come forward. And that's the thing, you know, when you back in the day, if you look in the book now, if you look up the song, Just As I Am, it doesn't have all the verses that we used to have. There's originally 6 verses. You know why they cut them out? Gospel meetings. Because you know, if you weren't down there by the 6th, we started all over again. There were people pulling their billfold out going, I will pay you to go forward. You know? And then, when you go forward, this is how it looks. And then you got people on the side going, it's about time. You know? You know, well, I know they need to go. But, what did they do? I don't know. And so I remember when the young lady got down the front, the preacher said, I know you're probably sitting there, and he said, these were his words, what she done did now. I never forgot that. He said, what she done did now. He said, it ain't none of your business. He goes, but she's come forward, she's asked us to pray, and that's what we're going to do. I never forgot that. But we so often we can sit there and judge. You know, and then you've got your weekly people that go forward. You know, their cat got hit by a branch, and let's pray for the cat. Now, I'm not a cat fan, so sorry. But anyway, it's just different things. But we all struggle with judgment. But lose the judgment. Judging others, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. Do not judge or you too will be judged. There you go. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That ought to scare you to death right there. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. That's right. We've been hypocrites. Oh, we don't like to hear it. Back to that correction, rebuking, the whole thing like that we read. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Start with who? You. Start with yourself. So lose the judgment. Here's another one. Be honest. Be honest. Leslie and I, I'm going to be honest with you right here. Leslie and I, not been a piece of cake being married. Of course, a lot of people say, oh, I bet it's just a lot of fun living with Burke. He makes you laugh all the time. She's like, I'm horrible. I mean, I'm a good man, but I'm horrible, too. I've got a lot of faults, just like everybody else. She's not always a walk in the park, I'm telling you. She's about that big around. Well, she's about that big around now, but I'm just saying, it's tough on both of us. So we sat down with this elder and his wife many years ago, and he says, well, I want to pray for you. That's always the answer. I want to pray for you. I want something else besides you going to pray for me. I want to hear that you have struggled. I want to hear that you had some problems. I want to hear that she got mad and threw something at you. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. You know, my wife can throw. I'm telling you. I learned that the first year we were married. You know, and being married, you know that I tell this to young couples when they come through premarital counseling. I say, I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I'm here to tell you how not to do it. Remember rolling over on my left side? We were within that first year of marriage. I'm thinking, till death do us part? Are you kidding me? We're not going to make it. Come on, death. You know, hers. You know what I mean? And we joke, but I'm being real. We're being honest. But this, when we sat down with this elder and his wife one time, we went to get some counseling, and he says, well, my wife and I have never had any struggles. I'm going to hit you. Liar, liar. But he wasn't about to share it, Bob. He wasn't about to share it. He said, now, my wife and I've never had, we've never had any problems. He lost us right there. He lost us right there. I'm not saying he had to tell us the whole dirt, but if he could have just been honest and said, we understand. That would have helped. But to say, be honest about who you are, whose you are. Listen to other people. Take time to listen. But a lot of times we're so worried about fixing the problem. We've got to listen to one another. Here's another one. Give rather than take. We got a lot of takers out there, but we need to give and not expect anything in return. Anybody hear the term strings attached? Well, you remember when we helped you? We expect something back. We expect something back. We got to be givers. We got to be better givers than takers. Better givers than takers. I'm rushing through this, and I hope I'm not running over my time. I'm watching the clock. Here's another one. In your attempt to be this realistic individual and reach out to other people, have fun. Here's a thought. Laugh. Laugh. Now, I'm going to bring my dad back up. I've seen my dad, well, in the vicinity of there, when he would get up there on Sunday morning and make announcements. Now, this was his heart. This was, he's been reverent. I love my dad, but I didn't always agree with him. But you remember, he would come along to welcome and announcements. My personality, but I'm just saying. And my dad would get up there and go, I want to welcome you here today. We're glad that you're here. We want to encourage you to stick around so we can get to know you afterwards. Now let's go into our worship service. And I'm like, oh yes, you're wooing me to Christ. And my dad was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun. But when it came to announcements or teaching Bible class, shoot me. Shoot me. And I love him. I miss him every day. I do. But I'm like, Dad, let them see the man. Take your teeth out like you do at home. That's a great trick. You know? That was great. I got a big kick out of it. Just have fun. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, there's a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. We're at church. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Y'all going to write that. Y'all going to scratch out through that. I know that. It's called counting. We're not dancing. We're counting. You know, joy movement. There's another phrase people, you know, call it. It's joy movement. But there's a time for everything. But there's a time for laughter. And it's okay. It's okay. Many of the people that I've met over the years, right here, finest people. But till the day God calls me home, two of the greatest people in my life were Delma and Ivy Smith. That girl could make me laugh. I'm telling you what. She didn't mind writing Leroy Sedgwick a note when it was Sunday night and the Sound of Music was coming on at 7 o'clock. She'd say, cut it short. But the Sound of Music was coming on at 7 o'clock. And I just thought, I can't wait to be her age. You know, she was funny. She was funny. I'm telling you what. I mean, there have been some great things. But have fun. Learn to compromise. Meaning it doesn't always have to be your way. But if we're going to reach out and be real and be authentic, know that it's not always going to go the way you want it to. Work on that. James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So it's not always about how you want, but do the right thing. And right thing at that time is to encourage and uplift that other person. Compromise within reason. Trust your friend. There's got to be some trust in there. A lot of people don't want to tell their stories at church because we don't trust. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know what you're going to say about my life, my walk, my marriage. My faith. I don't know what you're going to do with it. You've got to build that trust. When people come into my office and I say, you can say anything you want because it's going to stay right here. That's a promise. Hey, my wife didn't want to hear about it all. They can say whatever they want to and it's going to stay right there. And you build that trust. I'm pushing time. Be supportive. Be supportive. Follow up with them. Sometimes a friend just needs a shoulder to cry on, needs a cheering section, rah, rah, ree, and all that good stuff. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let them know they're not in it by themselves. Empathize. There's a difference from sympathy and empathy. What's empathy? The one you know. You've been there, done that. You learn it from experience. And I'm telling you, if we need this is just another Burke note. Our older people, this is scriptural, need to be teaching our younger people. But we need to be telling our younger people, younger marriages and things like that, it's not a walk in the park. It's not always been easy. I want to help you. I want to reach out. I'm not there because of sympathy. I'm there because of empathy. Because I've been there, done that. So have empathize. Touch. Oh, I'm a toucher. I'm a hugger. I'm a feeler. I'll tell you what. And then I have seen some just deadbeat people. I'm telling you what. Not everybody's a big hugger. You know, like you stand up, Bob. And this is some people. It's not a man thing. You know, I'm gonna give Bob a hug. Okay, I love you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Or then I love this hug. You know. Yeah, that makes me feel welcome. I bathe. You know. But touch is important. Doesn't mean you have to hug, but a handshake, a smile, a pat on the back, you know, but mean it. That touch is important. Share your feelings. Share your feelings. These are things you can work on. You can be challenged with. And now week number 6, I'm going to wrap it up. To do all these things, you got to have confidence. Call this the hurdle of confidence. A lot of people, when I do premarital counseling, or I do some marriage counseling, ministerial, I'm not a licensed counselor. Let me clear that up. Ministerial counseling. And there's good things about that because they can't come back and sue you on that one. But anyway, so, well, they might nowadays. But anyway, the thing is, I tell people, I just went blank on my whole. When I say to young couples, especially men, they go, well, that's just how I am. I can't, no, that's just how it is. I'm not going to change. You're what? You're not willing to work on or become better? There's nothing manly about that. Change for the one you love. Change for the one you love. Work on that. You say, she's important enough that I want to do a better job. She's important enough. You know, but a lot of times we don't do that because we just don't. Confidence is a big hurdle. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Hebrews 10:35-36. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I'm going to tell you what. When it says right there, let us then with confidence draw near. I remember a man years ago, he was a Baptist pastor, and I am a Baptist pastor. That's what he wanted to be called. He said, Burke, are you going to heaven? You know what my answer was? I hope so. I hope so. I would love to turn back time and go, yes, I'm going to heaven. With all my faults, with all my sins, old Burke is going to heaven. Because I just know they're going to want me to help on the judgment. They're going, nah. You know, nah, they're not going to want my help. But I'm just saying, I'm flawed, have a lot of issues, problems, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to heaven because our Lord and Savior gave us His one and only Son who died for you. He died for old Burke. It wasn't so I could have it all right and then I make the cut because that goes against the grain. I got problems. I got issues. I got a lot of things to work on. But He died for me. I'm going to try to get my best, and I can only do it one day at a time. Sweet Jesus. You know, it's all I can do is one day at a time. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You're not alone. You're not in this by yourself. He's got your back. That's good stuff. Good stuff. So here's some last things we're going to wrap up with. Take note of your accomplishments. Be proud of who you are and whose you are. A lot of times we were told, don't go bragging about the good things you can do. For years, when people say, Burke, we like it when you lead singing or you have a good voice. Now, some people like it. There's some people who don't. That's okay. But people have complimented me over the years going, hey, we like your music ability. And I go, oh, well, you know, I'm doing shit. I stopped that because I had someone get in my face years ago and said, you know what? You're dishonoring God when you do that. You need to say, thank you. That's all you need to say, thank you. Because that's a gift God gave you. And now when people, I say, you know, it's by the hand of God. Thank you, but it's God's. God just uses me, but God gave me this talent. Okay? Know your accomplishments. Be proud. Be proud of what you've done. Be proud of the kids you've raised. You know, how they turn out, that's some of their choices along the way. But you've got to take a little credit along the way. You know, you've learned from that, but be proud. You love your kids? You love your kids? Don't you? We know which one you love more, but we love your kids. So, be proud of your accomplishments. Number two, know your stuff. When you're talking to somebody, don't just make a bunch of stuff up like, well, yeah, you know, and you really know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, be smart enough to pass them on to somebody who does. I'm serious. I could sit there till the cows come home when people used to come into my office and they go, well, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. But I learned the hard way to say, go see Bob. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, you know when to pass it off, but know your stuff. Gain confidence by helping others get more confident. You can do this. Cheer them on, like what we were saying a while ago. Cheer them on. Be their cheerleader. Number four, work on your body language, your communication skills. Body language. Now, I know Bob, Tom, and Tommy, and different ones, Paul, when you're up in that pulpit, whether you're preaching, teaching a class, leading, singing, you can see people. You can tell whether they're engaged or not. Body language tells not. This one. I'm not singing that song. I don't like it. You know how that one goes. Body language. Your communication skills. Work on that. And if you're going to walk around doing this, I'm not coming up to you. I will go to the person behind you. Look, I'm just playing. I'm sorry, you had it right the first time. But, so, work on your communication skills, your body language. Here's another one. It's kind of out there, but dress for success. Be proud of who you are and whose you are. Don't walk around like Frumpola. Be proud of what God gave you. It doesn't matter, and it's not about the body size. But not everybody needs to see everything God gave you. I know a lot of people out there, they're going, this is popular, this is what everybody's wearing. Not everybody. You're not wearing it so well. I call it the popping fresh effect. You ever taken a can of biscuits and go, poof, what's it do? That's how some of these people look at me. No, don't do that. I'm not coming to you if you got that popping fresh look. I'm not going, now I'm going to step on by. Dress for success. But be proud of who you are and whose you are. Remember who you represent. Remember who you represent. Not just in here, but out in the world. It makes a world of difference. And here's the last one. Fake it. Fake it. Sometimes somebody needs to be encouraged. Are you always glad to be here? No. We're going to pray. It's not. But you may not always want to be here, but sometimes you get here and you're like, I'm glad I came. But to others may need that encouragement. They may need that extra handshake, that extra hug, that extra smile. If you're anything like my mother, you're going to walk out with war paint on your face. You've been attacked. But some people, you got to have to fake it till you make it. Get in there. I learned this from one of my favorite professors at Abilene Christian University years ago, Willard Tate. And Willard Tate, I'm sorry, I'm a few minutes over. I apologize. Willard Tate, he'd always say, fake it till you make it. Find something good to wake up to every day. Start running a list of something good in your life. And I challenge you to do the same thing. Find something good that's going on in your life. Write it down and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Keep that list going. And then it's just like with my wife and me. When we started dating, she wasn't one to share her feelings. She's still not the greatest at it, but I would say, I sure do love you. And she'd go, that's sweet. And I'd say, do you love me? She'd say, yes. I'd say, why? And I could give you a whole plethora, And she'd say, because you're good to me. What? That's all you got is you're good to me? 27 years later, it means the whole world to me. And I'll say, you love me? She'll say, yes. I'll say, why? She goes, because you're good to me. It's a lot deeper meaning to it. But we faked it a lot of times. You've got to jump in there. It's not always great. It's not always a walk in the park. So God's got this. God's got this. Let me end with Psalm 56:3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. It's that simple. It's not an essay. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. It's okay to be nervous and scared about going forward and making a change. It's okay to question whether or not you can do this or whether you can be the individual, the authentic individual that God has chosen you to be. It's okay to question. It's okay to be nervous. But God's got this. He's got you too. It's time that we all stop talking about facing the great big fears that we have and instead start silencing the small nagging voices that are saying, you can't do this. Do that thing you think you cannot do, and surprise yourself. Get in there and attack life. Being the authentic individual that God designed you to be, and let it be an amazing experience and enjoy the ride. Amen?
Amen.
I thank you so much for your time. Let's close out in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to be real. I thank you for making us all very unique individuals. Lord, may we, before we can put our heads on our pillow tonight, may we just stop and say thank you. Thank you for loving us just where we are. Because sometimes we don't feel so lovable. But you love us no matter what. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. I ask a blessing upon this congregation, which is very near and dear to my heart. I thank you for the elders here. I thank you for Bob. I thank you for the families that have been here for years, that have been so supportive to so, so many people. I ask that you would keep them on fire. I ask that you would help them to continue to do the great works in this community. Thank you for blessing this congregation, for blessing my life, for blessing all of us. Thank you for the freedom that we have that we get to be here tonight. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Amen.